comment on issues that are under the jurisdiction of this board, but not on today's agenda. I have one comment card, and if there's anybody else who wishes to comment during public forum and hasn't submitted a card, I encourage you to do that. The card that I have is for Brenda Edelman.
I submitted the card.
You said item five, though.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to you. I'm sorry.
Okay, not a problem.
Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. First, I want to say that we're going to miss Mr. Hales, and I appreciate all the input you've given to this board and the public all these years, and I wish you well. The main concern I have that I've been working on for a very long time is the biological opinion and the EIR for low flow, in specifically in the lower Russian River. I did submit comments to both the water agency and the state in regard to the water rights issue. And so, and the other thing I want to say is I was just so very grateful to read the 77 pages of comments put in by your agency staff, your agency, and the state board in conjunction. I have never seen anything like that, and I can't tell you how happy I was to see it. And I just want you to know I really, really appreciate it, and thank you for helping to make it happen. The only concern I had about it was that there were a lot of questions, a lot of requests for studies and more information, but there really wasn't much said about what we're going to do about the problem. And this is of great concern to me, and I have a suggestion in a minute, but first I want to say that my own comments were focused in general on the failure of the estuary project, which is the only reason given for proposing a 44% cut in flows as measured at the Hacienda Bridge for the lower river. And it's very disturbing to me. One of the things, there was a community meeting water agency put on this the other night, and I realized when they put some water quality graphs up there that all the exceedances on nutrients and bacteria, I think almost 100% were during times when the river mouth was closed. And this was very interesting, that when the mouth was open, the problem didn't seem to exist, with the exception of phosphorus, which was always in exceedance 96% of the time. So my concern is that they need a closed mouth in order to do the project, and the goal is to keep the mouth closed as much as possible, because there's a belief that the fish, especially the steelhead, do better in this just a summer program between May and October in a lagoon freshwater type environment. And so what I discovered is that the mouth almost never closes in August. They don't have breaches, which was another concern, when the mouth isn't closed. There's no concern about flooding in the July and August months, and yet they're still going to cut our flows by 44%.
I'll have to ask you to wrap up, please, Brenda.
I'm sorry?
I'll have to ask you to wrap up.
Oh, can I have just a few more minutes? I'll try and do it real fast.
Please, as quickly as you can.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, at any rate, I looked at the record at the Water Agency of the comments, and I discovered a document put in by a woman who lives in Forestville that I had not seen up to 2 days ago. And it occurred to me that this document is 100 pages. It's filled with photographs of the terrible problem of nutrients in the lower river. She provides information about the location of the photograph, the flows of the time, the date of the time. And it's critically, I just think it's something that I would very much like to see used as a basis. I wanted to appeal to you to consider listing nutrients as an impairment for the lower Russian River. I think it's critically important. I don't think it necessarily triggers any immediate action on your part, but what I'm appealing you for you to do is to make a strong case for the state in issuing the water rights, and I think you've begun that already. And listing the lower river for nutrients is a real strong message that this is a very important problem. And I urge you, I've provided this document, I urge you when you can to take a look at the pictures in there, and you'll see the extent of the problem, which you may not be aware of. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks for your thoughtful comments. And Matt, can you perhaps provide an update on the timelines for 303D public input? And
yes. So with regard to that, the public solicitation for data for the update to the 303D list, that solicitation closed earlier this month, on May 3rd. So we're now working with State Board to review all of the data that's come in. The plan is to be bringing to the board a recommendation for revised 303D list and the full integrated report in some late 2018 or 2019. So absolutely, we're looking at Russian River nutrients as that data to evaluate it for as an impairment. I did want to say that Brenda sent the report or letter that she mentioned. She forwarded it to me last night, and I will forward it on via email to all the board members.
Thank you. And the next comment card I have is from Bob Leggy.
Good morning, Vice Chair Valerie Mitten and board members. My name is Bob Leggy. I'm with the Russian River Keeper. I am here to discuss enforcement issues. My focus will be on three issues. One is public access to past or ongoing enforcement actions. Two is supplemental environmental projects, their current lack of oversight and follow-up. And three, a specific case where numerous Clean Water Act violations have occurred, were entered into a state database accessible to the public, and to date, so far as I know, a notice of violation letter has yet to be issued. Currently, enforcement information is only available in the executive officer's report. The last time enforcement data was released to the public was in February of 2017, and that was in the executive officer's report, and this was for enforcement actions issued in November and December of last year. We are in May, and we have yet to see any information published on any enforcement actions initiated between December and today. I searched Region 1's website, and the last enforcement data entered on the enforcement program page was entered on July 15th of 2014. That's over 2.5 years ago. We strongly encourage that this board recommends to staff that the enforcement program webpage be updated and reflects current enforcement actions. By doing so, the public will not have to rely upon executive officers' reports that can go 4 or 5 months without being released to the public. Supplemental environmental projects, two examples of SEPs that fell short of their intended compliance targets. One, the city of Healdsburg was given $192,000 to assist in the completion of a recycled water irrigation system specifically designed to reuse wastewater on public parks, community schools, and other community facilities. This SCP was never completed because the city ran out of funds. The second example, last year the County of Sonoma was required to pay $30,000 with the intent that the SCP would enhance public access to water quality monitoring data, which is supposedly available online through the CD3 SFEI mapping tool. I don't doubt that the stormwater outfall monitoring data is embedded somewhere in that software, but it is certainly not easily accessible by me, and I've taken 3 semesters of ArcGIS. Russian River Keeper would be very interested in seeing the results of an audit on all the SCPs that have been approved in the past, whether they were completed, and if they actually met the compliance target. If they did not, what actions were taken? We recommend that going forward, all approved SCPs have a follow-up action similar to a notice of termination, and this data is entered alongside the original enforcement data and posted on Region 1's enforcement program website. The last issue I wish to address is sadly...
I'll give you the 3-minute warning as well, Bob.
Okay, I'm wrapping up. The last issue I wish to address is sadly one of many where a discharger repeatedly in every rain event exceeds numeric action limits that are specified in their permit. One such case is a construction general permit holder who decided to grade the entire construction site in early October. The resulting monitoring and reporting data collected were the most egregious water quality violations I have ever seen submitted to the state via the SMARTS database. The construction site is known as Fox Hollow and is located on Fulton Road. I don't know the current status of enforcement actions taken here, but I strongly recommend this site is evaluated by the board. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Does staff have any information they want to clarify in response to any of Bob's comments?
Chris is going to help me.
Do you mind if I plug in for staff on this?
You would be very welcome.
So I'm very familiar, and my staff is coordinating with Bob and the Russian River Keepers on these SEPs follow-ups.
Speaking of microphone, please.
And can you please state your name for the record?
My name is Chris Kerrigan. I'm a concerned citizen and also the chief of the Office of Enforcement at the State Water Board.
It is.
We have sort of a systemic issue with SEPs around the state that's been called to the attention of my office the last several months. And that is we don't have program staff stocked to follow up on compliance actions with staff. Our orders do require that a document such as the notice of termination, every one of them requires that that be submitted by the person who's undertaking the SEP. What we found is that doesn't always happen and we don't always follow up, and even when it does happen, it's not necessarily 100% accurate. And consequently, my office has been looking into doing some spot audits on SEPs. It is one of those things where we don't have funding for staff to follow up on SEPs, so it's an important component, and you'll hear a little bit about SEPs later, of where we'd like to go in the future with SEPs and their implementation. But for now, it's a very challenging component, and I will say that several regional boards do not do SEPs at all because of the significant burden of follow-up by staff, unfunded burden of follow-up by staff. Now, we've switched that attitude some in those regions in the last few years, and they're willing to do selected staff SEPs, and we'll talk later today about a pre-approved board list of SEPs, which allows better transparency and better follow-up, and as that being a best practice. So in any event, we're aware of the SEP issue, and I will say my chief prosecutor and liaison to Region 1 is in the office audience today, and she was... We're aware of the Fox Hollow situation, and I can't comment further on that right now. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chris. And just to add, with regard to the enforcement report, it's not always 100% up to date because of some cases are in various stages, but I don't think that it's correct to say that it hasn't been updated since the end of 2015, which is what I heard. The current executive officer's enforcement report reports through mid-April, those enforcement actions that are currently ongoing.
I couldn't find it, Matt. The last one I saw was in February 2017.
Okay. Well, it's right here in the enforcement report, and I'm happy to show that.
I don't think that is available online. I didn't see it.
It is, but we're happy to show you where it is.
Board Member Hales?
Thank you. Bob, thanks for bringing this up about SEPs. I think it's actually really important, and I really agree with you that we should have some sort of accounting on what's happened. And Chris, thanks for the explanation as well. Obviously, it's on your radar screen, and things are moving forward there. We've got a gap to bridge, and I think we've got some good dialogue here. So this board takes SEPs very seriously. They're a great tool, and there have been cases where we have recommended them that I think have been the best possible protection for the resource, given either limitations on a discharger or other circumstances of the case that we've seen. And we're, I believe very strongly in them. I think they're a good program. I think all our board members would agree on that they were the right decision to make when we did, because obviously it's probably the most protective thing. I don't care about so much levying a fine against a discharger, but let's fix a problem here. So it's a great tool. So I just want to encourage that piece to move forward, and thanks for bringing that up, Bob, and look forward to hearing more about what you have to say in your presentation a little bit later, Chris. Thank you.
Board Member Hales.
So, from the newbie, and I don't know if Hector knows, what is SEPs?
Supplemental Environmental Project. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Thank you. That was embarrassing.
State software program.
Well, we're going to hear from Director Kerrigan later this today on the agenda. But in brief, there's it's a supplemental environmental project. It's an allowance for projects to be implemented in lieu of penalties that are assessed for a violation.
So, is there anybody else who wishes to speak in public forum who hasn't submitted a comment card? Okay, we will close public forum and move on.